couple of weeks ago, whoops, there we go, we'll get a valve in there, we got it. So a couple of weeks ago, we started with this series, it's just been 3 weeks long, called the Life's Wake-Up Calls, and somebody mentioned they didn't recognize that phone that was on there. How many of you didn't recognize the phone that was on there today?
I didn't recognize it.
Some of you do recognize it and don't want to hold up your hands. I understand. Okay. Well, thank you for being part of the branch this morning. We're just having a great time reaching out to our community, reaching out to people, and the people of the community joining in with the branch to do so. So a number of you are with us for a second or third time, or for the very first time, welcome. Glad you're here. At the third time you're here, you become part of us. It's just about like that. So thanks for being present. We hope you're having a good experience. Our purpose is simply to know Jesus. Jesus is the life giver. He gave us our life to begin with. He's the creator of all. And then he gave life to us again when we needed it so badly. He came as the forgiver, the savior of humanity. And every person needs him. We believe at the branch. And so they need to know who Jesus is and how vital he is to our lives. And so much so that as we're told by Jesus himself, is we're to make him known to everybody that we can. That's our purpose in being here. We're to make Jesus known to the growing number of people in our community, in our world, all around us, that are either uninformed, underinformed, or misinformed about who the real Jesus is. Do you realize that there's a growing number of people in our culture, in our land, especially in America, that are losing the grasp or the grip on what the faith in Jesus Christ is really all about? There's a desperate need for more churches that will express this kind of purpose in our community. And so thank you for gravitating to that at the branch this morning. And we just want to make that clear. We're going to deal with this idea of wake-up calls. This is a third in a three-part series. We've spent 2 weeks dealing with wake-up calls. A wake-up call, what is that? It's anything that happens into our lives that would shatter the norm of our lives. That would be what a wake-up call is. It can be good or it can be not so good or negative. We've dealt with the negatives, but there are good wake-up calls, like the day we woke up and understood Jesus. The first time, right? Oh my, what a life-changing wake-up call that would shatter the norm in a very good way for our future, right? Or the day maybe that you woke up and found out that all of a sudden you'd inherited $10 million from a long-lost relative you'd never heard of. Wouldn't that be a great wake-up call? And I keep dreaming on, folks. Anyway, we're going to discuss in this third and final message of Life's Wake-Up Calls. Again, I'm going to focus on the negative side because those are the things in life that really affect us deeply as well as the good things, but the negative ones. I'm going to deal with those things that are out of our control. See, the first 2 weeks we dealt with, those things that are in our control that produce a wake-up call. First 2 weeks we dealt with those things that are out of our control, like last week when Matt sharing how he became blind at age 42. Not in his control. If he had it in his control, he probably wouldn't have elected to become blind. If it was his choice, it wasn't his choice. Well, today we're going to talk about personal choice and the impact, the consequential impact of the choices we make, our own personal responsibility, and what we would do, the choices we would make, some decisions in life that we would have, little, minor, or big, major kinds of decisions. There's a consequential impact. You see, the personal choices we make in life shape our future. The people we are today is in part what our choices in our past, what we have decided to do in our past. Those little choices along the way or some major big ones that we make in life have put us in part right where we are today. Not totally, but in part right where we are, friends. So this is an extremely important issue to talk about, this idea of the impact. Let me give you some examples. If we were to overspend monthly just $300, and for some of us that might just be not as much money as others it might be, but just $300 a month we overspend. You ever done that? I have. Anyway, overspend $300 a month, we continue to do it. You accumulate that over 5 years, and you get a wake-up call consequence of $18,000 of consumer debt. And some of us understand this. We realize, okay, yeah, I get that. Or perhaps we make a small decision, seemingly at the time, to kind of go along with the friends
who invite us to participate in just a taste of this new drug. Because it has some euphoria connected to it. It's kind of cool. We can do this together. And we begin down a road here of making some small choices that can accumulate into a major consequence. Wake up call. Not so good. A couple of examples just from the Bible. Back in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, right? There was I recognize the name, King David. He was a man after God's own heart. He was one of the great kings of Israel, the shepherd over all God's people. Came a time in his life when, as warrior kings were in those days, he would be leading the charge against the foes of Israel. He decided to stay home. Bad choice. You say, bad choice today as we look at the record. He stayed home. And you know how they say, idleness can be the devil's workshop. Well, the devil worked on him apparently, and he got engaged with a gal in an affair. He had, some say, up to 40 wives of his own, or concubines and wives. But one of his soldiers on the field was out, you know, fighting the enemy. Left his wife at home, of course. And David was there, and he got together with this gal. Unfortunately, they ended up with having a baby, or being pregnant with baby. Wake up call. What does he do about that? Another choice he makes. He takes a choice to say, well, I'll bring that soldier back so he can get together with at home with his wife, and so the baby will be seen to be the soldier's baby and not his, the king, a baby. And so he did that, and the soldier wouldn't go into his wife because all of the other men that were on the field, he didn't want to be an exception to that. He wanted to be loyal to the army and of the times, and so David couldn't get him to do that, so he appointed that soldier to go back into the field and had the general at the head of the armies put him out there in the most vulnerable position where he's likely to be killed. And in fact, he was. These are choices that King David, even a man after God's own heart, made. Well, God sent the prophet Nathan to him, exposed him. David came to a realization, wake up call! And some painful and permanent things can come out of those wake-up calls. Here's another one in the New Testament. You might know the story of the prodigal son. Here's a young man who wanted to get on with life ahead of schedule, ahead of what would have been wise, and he convinced his father to give him his inheritance ahead of time. He left home, went out in wasteful, unproductive kinds of living, lost all of the fortune that he had from his father. Ended up at the very lowest place in his life that he could be, eating with the pigs, and slopping with that. And he found himself in that place, and the Bible says, the story goes, that he came to his senses. That's wake-up call language. Wake-up call. And so he returns to his father, not to become the son again, but to become a servant, like any of the servants that were hired in the household. But like the story is meant to show, God's embrace as a father to us who return to him is incredible. He's gracious and loving and wants to embrace us and hold a party for us. That's Jesus. That's the God we serve. And so in our direst, most painful, permanent wake-up calls, friends, there's a God there, the Savior God, the one who will take us from where we are and take us to the best places that we can imagine for our future. I want us to deal with this idea of wake-up calls this morning. I want to take us to the Bible, to a wake-up call passage. All right, it's going to be on the screen here. Let's look at it together. It's over in Galatians chapter 6. Notice words say, and the emphasis there with the underline and the italics is mine, as we look at this key passage together. Notice with me as I read. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's take this apart little by little here. I want us to look at this life law. There it is. A man reaps what he sows. We, friends, today, will reap what we sow. You, as an individual person, will reap what you sow. This is a life law. It's used agriculturally. It's agricultural language, isn't it? How many of you are going to plant a garden this year somewhere in your yard? Good for you. So, and you might be planning to plant, let's say you're going to plant a cucumber. Cucumbers are great in this area, right? You're going to plant a cucumber. But I've got extra seed, so I'm going to give them to you. Your plan is you want to reap cucumbers, but I'm going to give you, I've got leftover pumpkin seeds by the barrel. So I'm going to give you a bunch of pumpkin seeds. Hey, these might work. You say, no, I want cucumbers. Well, I got a bunch of seed here. Just sow this stuff. It probably will get somewhere in there. Maybe there's, you'll get what you want. No, you won't. You're gonna reap what you sow. If I give you a bunch of pumpkin seeds and you plant them all, you're gonna have a pumpkin patch that can serve a lot of people, right? But you need the right kind of seed. You're gonna sow a cucumber seed. No, this is just we understand this. This is just a life law. We call it also a law of nature because God created nature, and this law applies to nature and to, can I say, human nature? It applies to the other things in life. It's said a little bit related to it in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Well, understand these things are just, okay, this is easy, this is simple. It's a law. But why does God say, do not be deceived? Why does he have to say that to us? But such a simple life law. We would understand to live by that. But I would say this is the concern I have, and I think comes out of, right out of God's concern, is that sometimes we make choices in life and don't process enough the potential consequences. Friends, I'm a father of 5 kids, and the youngest is 17. And I don't know how often I have had to go over and over with the kids, don't do what Dad did. I mean, don't. In other words, I made that mistake. I didn't process consequences enough, and I got hurt. I got burned. And it's just, we tend to do that. I don't know what it is. We get lazy. Do we think that if we plant a pumpkin seed that we're going to get cucumbers? Do we think that? Sometimes in life, maybe we do. Or we don't think something's going to happen, that the law really isn't altogether true, or I can escape the consequences of that kind of law. God says no. What? If you want to reap something, you've got to sow something. You will reap what you sow. You sow something, you're going to reap it. It's just that we must believe it. We must understand it. We must understand it is a real law. And so, the law basically says to begin with the harvest in mind, doesn't it? If we will reap what we sow, then don't sow until you understand the consequence of making that choice. Because there's a consequence to every choice. So we begin, sometimes the modern guys that are teaching about success, you know, they say, begin with the end in mind. What do I want to achieve? And then you start sowing or making choices to accomplish that end. Those of you in the business world, that's what you're doing, aren't you? With those of you in your work environments, that's what we have to do. And so that's an important aspect to understand here. So to do that is to sow wisely, to have wisdom and knowledge enough to know that if I sow this, if I make this choice, that here's going to be the resulting consequence because of my knowledge and wisdom and understanding of these things. Therefore, I'm not going to sow that because I don't want this consequence, this negative consequence. I don't want that wake-up call to come at me someday. Okay? So we must sow wisely. We must then get wisdom. I can't tell you how much, you know, how important it is to have true knowledge and wisdom in order to have great results in the future, to reap great benefits into our lives. It's absolutely critical that we get wisdom. I want to give us 3 sources of wisdom here. This morning. There are more, but let me give you 3 major ones that I believe in and have tested, and a bunch of you have too. The first one is Scripture. Scripture. Get Scripture. Look what the Bible says. Recording what Jesus actually said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Bible has the words of Jesus. Okay? To know Jesus is to get to know him by the words that he has shared and by those that God has contained in the Bibles we have today. puts them into practice, not just to hear them, but to do them, the Bible says. So not we apply, we engage the Bible by actually doing what it says. Okay? So it says a man who is like a wise man, the one who would do those words, put them into practice, look what it goes on to say, is like a wise man, one who has gained wisdom. A wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Did not have to suffer through crisis, right? A wake-up call, right? A collapse, because they built their house on wisdom. It's the Bible. Around here at the Branch, we recommend highly that we get into our Bibles, if we can, every single day. We produce a little plan once a month. You can find it on our app. You can find it on our website. It's pretty simple. Just be in the Bible as much as you can. Learn from the Bible. Come to environments like this. Gain knowledge from God, what's in the Scriptures. And so we recommend that. You do that in a personal way. You do that in group, like what we're doing today. And guess what? You'll walk away wiser. Hopefully today, get a little bit more emphatic about this idea of getting wisdom so that we can sow and reap some great results, but some of the best. Second thing that I want to share with us, a source of wisdom, is prayer. Prayer. What it says in James, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. God desires to give us wisdom. My kids come to me and they ask me a question. Your kids come to you. If you have kids and they ask you, I'm confused about what to do in this case. What do you recommend? What would be your counsel? Doesn't that make you feel good when your kids come to you and ask for wisdom? It really does me, because I think I've got some that might help them, you know, if they make some of these choices that they have to make in life. And God loves it too when we come and ask Him if we don't feel like we've got it together. Friends, I ask God for wisdom almost every time before I try to bring a message like this to credible people like you are. I want to make sure I'm reflecting what God wants to say to us, right? And we need wisdom. So we can ask God, God, help me with this decision that's pending in my life. What? Give me some information. Bring to me data, help. Impress upon me something that would let me know that the better decision would be to go this direction with that. There was a man who, king of Israel, who had the responsibility of making lots of decisions over a lot of people. His name was Solomon. It's recorded that he went and asked God for wisdom, although he had a choice to ask God for anything. His name was Solomon again, and here's what's recorded about him. God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies. And since you have not asked for a long life, but what did he ask for? Wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. Friends, take that as a promise. Go to God in prayer for some of those choices in life, some of those things that you're having to sow with the idea that there's a consequence, with the idea that there's a result out of this, the idea that I don't want to reap what's bad, I want to reap what's good. And go to Him in prayer. It's a source, an incredible source of wisdom. Thirdly, has to do with our friends, people that we hang with, all right? And the Scripture speaks there in Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, if we can get to the next slide. Excuse me. Next slide. Okay, great. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise. Look what it says there. And become wise. Can I ask you who you're walking with today? Are they people of wisdom? Are they, you know, they people that are struggling to make good choices? Be careful, because those that we walk with will influence us. There's an association kind of capacity that happens in those regards. And so we gotta walk with the wise, those who we get counsel from. Choose your friends wisely. Young people in here today, choose your friends wisely. Choose those who would be your lifelong friends, your mates, your spouses. Choose them wisely. It matters. Because you will reap what you sow. It's a definite law, and it will happen every time. So I want us to deal with an aspect of this law, you'll reap what you sow, that has a dimension to it that is why it is can be so devastating or so incredibly great. You see, it's not only that we will reap what we sow. If we put a cucumber seed in the ground, we'll get cucumbers. But we will reap more than we sow. This is the dimension that's incredible. It's a multiplication kind of dimension to this law. And it works. Because the law works, this works. Okay, so Lori and I and our family come from the last 14 years, the Mid-Valley, Mid-Willamette Valley. And down there, one of the major crops is grass seed. And I've been out to these grass seed cleaning operations where they take all the grass seed and they have to clean it all and they bag it all and they send it around the world. Basically, it's grass seed for everything. Homes as well as golf courses and all. And what they always do, these farmers, is they hold back major number of bushels. They're going to fill half a room or something. Well, why aren't you selling all that? Well, that's what we're going to sow for next year's crop. Oh, they're going to plant so that they sow. But you know how much they sow out of a half a room of bags of seed? You know how much gets reaped out of that? Friends, warehouses of grass seed. This is amazing. You will reap more than you sow. What you plant, more will come out of it. You plant that one cucumber and you get multiple cucumbers and multiple cucumbers and multiple cucumbers inside. And every cucumber is not just one seed, right? Multiple seeds. This is the way it works. It's an amazing thing. Jesus said that they told the story of the soils and there was, seed that was, thrown out to be sown, right, and planted. And some would fall on the path and it wouldn't work well. And then some would be on shallow ground and it would get burned off quickly. The plant would as it would start to grow. And others would be in the thistles and they would get choked out. But then there would be the seed that would be sown in the good soil, which was meant to the good hearts that would hear and understand the word. And the person that heard and understood the word and engaged the word of God, the word of Jesus, was fruitful. And it said that he was fruitful to the point of being a hundredfold multiplication of the fruit. Hundredfold multiplication. 60 and some 30-fold. You will reap more than you sow in your life. Think about that. Jesus said, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, shaken together, pressed together, it will be poured into your lap. He's indicating that as we sow giving, as we sow forgiving, as we sow love, as we sow kindness, as we sow encouraging words, as we sow these things, they grow and multiply. Not just come back to us, but they even multiply. In fact, there's what's called a ripple effect that happens in utilizing this principle of sowing good things. The ripple effect is part of this incredible harvest that adds just a dimension beyond just gaining more than we've sown. The ripple effect, let me just give you a quick illustration of a real life a guy who was involved in some drugs and alcohol, and it was troubling his life to a great degree. This was in 1986, and a complete stranger to him talked to him about his life condition, what he was reaping out of what he was sowing. And he encouraged him and helped him to get involved in a treatment center in London. And he came through that. You know what happened to this guy who was helped by the stranger who sowed into his life this help, encouragement? He became a counselor that helped hundreds of people with the same kind of situation that he was in. That's a ripple effect. You don't know what yourself, what you do with one other life can produce in a ripple effect. You don't know. Maybe only God will. But we need to understand that's part of the life law. we reap what we sow and more than we sow. But there's another part to it. Let's look at the rest of the scripture on this. Go to the next scripture. And it says in verse 9 there, and again I've emphasized the scripture here, let us not become weary in well-doing or in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. You see, we're going to not only reap what we sow and more than we sow, but it's going to be later than we sow. And maybe this is where we have the tendency to not believe the law, because it doesn't happen as fast as our microwaves do. It doesn't happen immediately like we need it to, or feel like we need it to, or want it to. All the work I'm doing in this relationship, it isn't working. We throw up our hands, give up. Or all the struggle that we have in trying to get out of debt, that just, forget it. It's just too hard. And it's not seeming like, it just doesn't seem to happen. And so we stop sowing. We stop making the good choices and say no to bad choices. And what God would tell us to do is don't be deceived. This law will work. It is real. Keep doing the right things. Say no to the wrong. Say no to the wrong. And again, say no to the wrong. Say no to the wrong relationship, or the relationship that's bringing a temptation into our life. Just say no, 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 no. And say yes to the right things, as hard as they may be. It's just hard to wait. You know, if you plant that cucumber seed, you're going to have to wait. And we all know, you know, we're just going to wait, we wait, we wait. But eventually we have this incredible harvest, and we reap so much good. And so that's what God would tell us this morning with respect to this great law, to avoid a negative wake-up call or calls in our future. God gives us some instruction, the life law, to be able to do that, as well as to awaken ourselves maybe to the amazing benefits of reaping very positive things in our future and seeing the multiplication of good things happen, not just in our life, but through the ripple effect to many lives. Imagine the kind of potential He's placed in you. Do you feel that? You have an incredible potential with what choices you make because of this law that's at work in all of life. And so, I'm going to take out my connection card, and can I invite you to do the same right now? Our connection cards. Got one? Take it out. Come on, pull it out of there. Yeah, I'm going to do something with this connection card. And I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to have a connection time. If you don't have a connection card in your hand, can I ask you to raise your hand? We want to put one in your hand. Why don't you have a connection card? Look it over. We ask every week that these connection cards be turned in. Now, you might say, well, I don't have nothing new to put on there every week. That's okay. But it helps us to know that you are here, meaning that there are people that maybe weren't able to be here. And we want to follow up and see if there's any needs in their life, some way we can minister to the people who are not here. So that helps us out. So if you have a connection card, can I invite you to just put your name on there? If we already have your address and information, there's no updates to that, that's okay. You don't have to fill that part out at all. But I want you to turn it over right now. And I want you to connect for a minute with God. Okay? Connect for a minute with God. Can I ask you some questions? And you don't have to write anything with respect to this, but you might want to put something down back here. Or just kind of analyze some of what's on this card today. You might want to let me know some things. You could let me know that you want to memorize something, or in this message you might want to tell me this is what I'm going to try to do based on some of what I'm hearing or what God's talking to me about through the Bible, etc. And there's some things over on the right-hand side in the back of the card that talk about making a commitment, recommitment, a desire to be baptized if you haven't been immersed, and to attend a branch orientation. By the way, what's coming up on Friday night, we'd love to have you over at our house. My wife cooks an amazing meal. And you can't come a second time for that, by the way, because I know you know how good she cooks. But anyway, you can come to that, and I'd love to have that. Or if you want to help serve, we're creating an incredible dream team here at the branch. We'd love to have you be part of that. But I want to ask you these questions. With relation to this incredible law, this life law that God gives us, that it's operation in agriculture, but it's operation in our choices of life, in what we do in life. What things are being reaped right now in your life? Think about that for a minute. What are some things that are happening? harvests or results. But a corollary to that, though, is what would you like to have happen more? What would you like to reap more of in your future? Remember, we're talking about this, that our personal choices shape our future. And this law matters because what we sow, we will reap. What is it in your future that you would like to have more of in the way of reaping? And then I want to ask you this. So process that a little bit. Then what are you sowing right now? And what do you need to sow more of perhaps in the future? This could be decision time for yourself. Sow more of, just inside yourself. What I got to sow more of to get what I really want, to get more reaping. It could be, you know, a better financial picture. It could be a better relationship with a neighbor or a family member or a child or a parent, or you go on and on. It could be a better work situation that you can work harder at in making choices and planting that would make that whole situation better and allow you to succeed even more so in your work environment. It could be a variety of things. There's a number of things that people are thinking about right now. But I'm going to give you 40 seconds to process this because I think it's that important. And so we're going to start the clock now. Spirit's work by making choices in alignment with your will for our lives. And so we ask for your blessing upon us that we might do that, continue to do that, and we might be able to bring glory to you as we bear fruit in the way of many people being affected by the simple things we might think that we're doing day by day that matter so much. Protect us from sowing the wild oats of life. From those wrong things. Deliver us from those temptations. And we just praise you today as we remember what you've done in bringing us back to you through Jesus Christ in our communion time. Amen.